Good evening, everyone. I am thankful that the Lord has allowed me to be here once again with you in revival. And I am encouraged to see the growth both in presence and spiritually.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing to see. I know that you all are well fed in this congregation. I believe it's four of you that minister to the congregation. So I'm just going to, by the help of the Lord, add just a little bit.
Amen.
The Lord desires us to have our power loosed.
Yes.
He has given us a power. And sometimes we don't realize our power.
Amen.
Now, I know we all know this scripture. And it's one of those scriptures that the enemy works as hard as he can against us on. There are 66 verses that reference prayer in the Word of God. I'm not going to get to all of them tonight. That's a study that you can have in your own time, in your own devotions. And what the Lord has visited us with over several days is this scripture. There's something we have as human beings. As the brother talked about it last night, there's a way that God thinks about us, and there's a way that we think about ourselves.
Amen.
And sometimes, we don't think that our prayers are doing much good. The enemy comes along and tells you, well, you done spent all that time praying. God ain't even hear you. There's a natural example that the Lord brought to my mind. I want us to consider this as we think about our prayer. We all are familiar with fast food restaurants.
Amen.
And if we get a thought in our mind that I have a taste for a certain thing, I know exactly where it is. I know that I have the money to buy it. And so I go over to the restaurant. And I pull up in the drive-thru line, and someone says, may I help you? And we look at the menu, and we order what we want. Now, we got two options. I can continue to drive around to the window as they have instructed, or I can change my mind and say, I don't think I want to go there. And I pull out of the drive-thru. Now, when I get to the window, it's usually closed, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what if I'm sitting there at the window and nobody ever comes to the window and opens it? What are you going to do? Are you going to toot the horn? Hey, I'm at the window. I'm ready to get my food. Are you going to knock on the window, wave at them? Do you see me?
Amen.
They open that window, don't they?
Yes.
And we get what we want.
Yes.
Now I want you to picture God in heaven. You've come to him in prayer.
Yes.
And he's got the window up there. And the window is closed. What is going to trigger him to open the window and hear what you have to say? This scripture, James, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse, the second part. Now, this particular scripture, it's got a few messages in it. I'm only going to deal with the second half. I'm going to read the whole thing so that we get an understanding, but I want us to focus on the second half of that. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Now, that's a message in and of itself.
Amen.
Then it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
So, there are three components to our prayer. Now, this message is not for those seasoned folks that we count on for prayer. This message is for every single person in this building, including the children. Because I want to tell you, children can have effectual, fervent prayer, and they live a righteous life, and they can move God on his throne.
Amen.
The first part, effectual. Producing, or able to produce, a desired effect. What moves people to do things? You take a little child that wants something to eat, and mama's in the kitchen, and the child is in there. I want something to eat, mama. Maybe mama didn't hear him. Mama's worried. She's doing something else. She's worried about whatever she's working on, and she don't hear the child. You know that child will come over there, and they'll get a hold of mama, mama, I want something to eat, please.
Yeah,
now she's got mama's attention, and mama's looking at her. What do you want? Whoever, son or daughter? May I have something? This or that? And they use their manners. What does it do to the mama? It moves her. My child is asking for something. And they're being polite too. Do you think that God does not pay attention to how we pray? Do you think that if we don't come to God with an effective, able to produce a result, we may not get an answer? That's one component. Then it says fervent. Fervent means very hot, exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feeling.
Yes.
When do you like to work outside? Usually morning or night, right?
Yes.
Why is that? The sun has not got up high in the sky and beamed its intensity down on you. You know, I've heard people pray sometimes, and you can't really tell if they're being intense or not, because it's maybe this their nature. But God has the ability to determine if we have intensity. You know what intensity is? I have cleared everything out of my mind. Every worry, every care I got, I've cleared it all out, and I've focused in. I've established a solid contact with God, and he can hear me, and I can hear him.
Yes.
You ever stand out in the heat of the day? What happens? After a while, that hot sun causes you to perspire, doesn't it? And you feel the intensity. God wants to feel the intensity of our prayers.
Amen.
He wants it to move him. Do you know that God has heard? I can't even number them. The amount of prayers that he's heard. How many generations have been on the earth? And they've all prayed in some manner to God. And you notice we have examples in the Bible. Some of them got results, some of them didn't. So we must consider, how is my fervency and my effectual prayer? Am I producing the desired results? Or am I praying for the same stuff over and over again, and God hasn't answered it? I'm going to tell you how God works. Everybody thinks, oh, the preacher can really pray. Do you know that God checks the preacher's prayers?
Yeah.
He loves us enough to let us know when we haven't prayed an effectual, fervent prayer. And he says you need to pray again. You ever had the Lord tell you pray again? I've had the Lord tell me, clear your mind. Because I got things going on in the back of my mind of I got to do this and I got to do that. But I got to take my time to pray. And the Lord is sitting there, you haven't focused. Clear your mind. I want you to touch the throne. I want to be moved by what you have to say. And so we must consider this. And the last component is righteous. Acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. Now, if we have all three of these components active in our prayer, what is the result? Availeth much. It doesn't say avail a little bit, or I get a half answer. It doesn't say that. It says much. That means that God has something in mind far greater than what I'm praying about. You and I, we pray for people to get saved. Lord, will you deal with them? Will you save them?
Yes.
And that's a good prayer. But have you ever prayed in the same mind frame as God? Lord, they need to be saved. They need to be lifted up out of that horrible pit that they're in. They need the chains broken. They need you to come in and make a change in their heart. Yes. Pray that way. Because that's what God wants to do.
Yes.
He sees that they need to be saved. He already knows they need to be saved. But do we pray in the frame of mind that God is thinking?
Yes.
With some intensity and some fervency. We're righteous people. We should be getting more results than we're getting. But you see, the enemy affects us all.
Right.
After a while, we get a little numb to the request that we have. And God is looking at us. Are they going to give up on it? You know, he may crack the window. All right, they're getting close. God is not a God that does just simple, ordinary things. He does things exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think.
Amen.
Not only will he save that person, but he'll save the people around him if that's what we ask for.
Amen.
Now, how many people we know that are sick and suffering? Lord, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they having this issue or that issue. How many times we've been praying that? And the Lord challenged me on this. He said, why don't you pray for complete healing? God is not just interested in just blessing someone a little bit. When Jesus walked around the earth, you remember the man that was blind?
Amen.
Jesus come over and he touched him and said, what do you see? He said, I see trees. Oh, that ain't enough. And Jesus touched him again. And he said he saw clear.
Amen.
The person that he told to take up his bed and walk, he didn't take up that bed and be dragging this one leg. He took up his bed and he walked.
Amen. Yes, he did.
This is the power that God has given his children. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Do you know children can pray a prayer like this and get an answer from God? I know of a child that liked rain. Wanted to see rain. There was not rain. Very, very little rain. And that child was young. Less than 10 years old. Got down, having prayer. Lord, will you please send us some rain? A child. Do you know the next day I went outside and there was a little cloud? And by the end of the day came, it poured.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Child just asked for some rain. What are we asking for? We are asking for the very things that the gospel is built on. Amen. Seeing people get saved, seeing people get healed, seeing people get delivered, and their life changed.
Amen.
That's what we're praying for.
Amen.
Way more important than just some rain. Amen. But do you see how God is? If we are intense in our prayer and put everything into it, I'm living right. You know, God wants to pour out blessings upon us.
Amen.
He wants to shake the gates of hell.
Amen.
That's what this gospel is all about.
Amen.
And our prayer is one of the most vital tools that we have.
Yes.
You take people that use instruments to cut things. And maybe they do it every day. You cutting it. Sometimes I got a utility knife and I'm cutting drywall. You can't keep cutting drywall with the same knife. After a while, it gets dull.
Amen.
And I got to sharpen it up or change it out.
Amen.
So those that know how important it is to have something sharp that you're cutting with, you're going to sharpen it up. Well, the Lord wants to sharpen up our prayers tonight.
Amen.
He wants our prayers to do something in the kingdom.
Amen.
He wants people to look at us and say, if they can touch the throne, I can too. He didn't put no age limit on. Do you see any age written in this scripture?
No.
No, it says effectual, fervent, righteous availeth much.
Yes.
Don't matter who you are. I don't have to wait for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so to say a prayer for me. I can have a connection with God myself.
Amen.
This is what he desires. I want to consider some conditions of successful prayer. I'm not going to touch on these a whole lot, but sometimes I give homework. This is one of those nights. There's four topics that are in the Word of God that as part of your homework in improving your prayer life, consider these things. One of them we heard about last night. The whole heart. Jeremiah 29 and 13. Write it down. What you and I have to do is consider, am I praying with my whole heart? Am I truly seeking him for the request that I have?
Amen.
Do I want results?
Yes.
Another one is, am I humble? 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Write that one down. How's my humility when I come to God? Do you understand that God made heaven and earth?
Yes.
Everything. And these little bitty problems we have in this life, he can make a change in any of them in an instant.
That's right.
How do I know he can make a change in an instant? Because he parted that Red Sea and made it dry and they walked through.
Yes.
That tells me he can change things in an instant. And then successful prayer requires some faith. We're going to have to do some examination of our faith. Do we really believe that God can do what we're asking for? Mark 11 and 24. Write that one down. And the last one is obedience. 1 John 3:22. Write that down. Now that's your homework. That's for you to examine your own prayer life. Because God desires us to be more effective than I believe we think we can be. Amen. We limit ourselves. He said, if you believe and doubt not, you can move this mountain.
Yes.
Over yonder.
Yes.
How many mountains have you looked at?
Amen.
Have you thought, Lord, can I move that?
Yes.
I was driving to church one time when I lived in California, driving down through the pass, and the Lord asked me, can you move that mountain with your faith? That challenged me. You know, these natural eyes, look, that's an awfully big mountain, Lord. But see, God asks us these things because he already knows what he can do. It's that little bit of doubt that will cloud our path to that open window. What we want is when we pray, we want God to do this. I'm opening up the windows of heaven wide open so I can hear what your petition is. That's what he wants to do.
Yes.
Now I want to consider a situation in 1 Kings. Now, you know they always say, well, Elijah prayed that it's not rain. Then he prayed that it rain again over a span of 3 years, 6 months. Elijah actually didn't pray that it not rain. He prophesied that. He told Ahab, because of what you are doing, there will not be rain on the earth. And God supported him. Now I want to pick up some few scriptures here in the 18th chapter. 1 Kings 18, starting at the first verse. It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself under Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Do you notice that God gave him some conditions?
Yeah.
I want you to go show yourself to Ahab. See, he'd been hiding out. And Ahab was wondering, why we don't have no water? And then God said, all right, now you go show yourself to Ahab. What's his first worry? Ahab's going to kill me, Lord.
Yeah.
But he followed the instruction, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And then he gave him some tasks to do before he ever told him about the rain. He said, now, I want you to go, and there's going to be, I'm going to just paraphrase for the sake of time. There's going to be a showdown between Ahab's prophets and you and me. And I want you to get everybody in there. I don't want nobody to miss this. And so everybody in the nation was gathered. And the children of Israel was gathered. You know the children of Israel were struggling at this time. They was considering the gods of Ahab. Well, maybe we should follow them. We don't know where Elijah is. He done disappeared on us. And then there was some praying. There was some praying by Ahab's prophets. And they didn't get no results, did they? There was a whole lot of show. You know, you go some places, there's a show of prayer.
Amen.
And if you have a discerning spirit, you can tell that it ain't the one. And they went so far as to start cutting themselves. That's how you need to get hold of your God. Got no results. Now I'm going to pick this up. Hey, Elijah decided, I'm going to have some fun with these people. They came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, saying, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. Peradventure, he sleep and must be awaked. Now, picture this scene now. How many prophets did they have? 450. Now, you would think between 450 prophets, they could get an answer. But what we find out is that who they was praying to had no power. You and I pray to one that has all power in heaven and earth, and he can work at any time. But I find sometimes that God intentionally sits still and listens to us. I want to see how sincere and intense they are about getting this answer. And when you and I begin to take it serious, and we begin to clear out all the distractions and the clutter and all the things that block our connection with God, there is something that happens. You lose track of time.
Yes.
You ever been down praying and I don't even know what time it is? You look, get up, you look around and where was I? Because you feel like you're not here. I'm in the presence of God. And this is available for everyone. All right, now. And they cried aloud and cut themselves at their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. It came to pass, when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. Guess whose turn it is? The man who prays to the God that made heaven and earth. He said, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be my name, be thy name. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. He made a trench about the altar, as great as could contain 2 measures of seed. Now, I had to look this up. I wanted to know how much water that trench could hold. You know those pitchers, those little gallon pitchers you use to pour drink and stuff in? It was a little bit smaller than that, 12 of those. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, made a trench about the altar as great as could contain 2 measures of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, lay him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. They did it the second time. He said, do it the third time. They did it the third time. The water ran around the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Now, I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. Do you notice Elijah prophesied, let whose God is true show by fire.
Amen.
He put himself in a predicament, didn't he? I don't know. I know he knew that God was going to answer by fire. But to proclaim that before he even asked God. You and I have the ability to proclaim what we desire to see before we even ask God. I see this loved one over here carrying on out in the world. And I know God wants to save them.
Oh, yes.
They just need to come on.
Please, Lord.
You know, there's a preacher that we knew growing up. And he used to ask us, why aren't you saved? You just need to come on. We had no thought of getting saved. out doing whatever we thought was important in the world. And I remember, like it was yesterday, I'm over at my uncle's house, he's there. And he comes up to me, I'm getting ready to go to bed. And he said, "Aaron, why ain't you saved yet?" I said, "I don't know, I'm just doing what I do." He said, you need to get saved. And went off, went to bed. I went to bed. Go to church the next day. Guess who visited that day? In a great power, Almighty God.
Yes.
And when he got done preaching, a whole lot of people got saved, including me. Let me tell you something. God is able to break whatever is binding people's lives and bring them into the fold. He is not interested in any of them go to hell. That's what this salvation was made, so we could have a rich life. And after that, we can have eternal life. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Now, I always find this part comical, because I could picture them people pouring that water on, and I could picture Ahab's prophets over there laughing. "Oh, they ain't gonna get no fire now. They done put 12 pitchers of water on there. They ain't gonna get no fire." Yeah. And it said, "Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench."
Yes.
Now, if that don't get your attention, you in a real bad place.
Amen.
It said the dust. We can't even hardly see the dust. And it licked it up. Left nothing there.
Yes.
And this is what I like. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face. You know what they said? "The Lord, he is the God."
Yes.
The Lord, he is the God. That's who we serve. That's the one we praying to. The only person that's maybe hindering the prayer is us.
Amen.
One of these needs some work.
Amen.
You know, I often hear people talk about the old saints. They can really get a hold of God.
Yes.
And they reminisce. Well, this person came over, laid hands on that person. They was healed immediately. This person was sick. They called for prayer. The person didn't even come lay hands on them. They just prayed. You hear these things. Do you know that's available to us?
Amen.
Didn't Jesus tell us you will do these things and greater?
Amen.
He expects us to get a hold of the same power that everyone that has come before us and carry it all the way to the end and give it back to him.
Amen.
Lord, we kept the power alive and it worked in our day and time. Yeah. It still works. The enemy's still a coward.
Yeah,
he toots his horn here and there.
Yeah.
Got the whole world support. But he still don't have enough power to overcome our God. And when you and I touch the throne of grace and God throws open his windows to hear, "Oh, my child is praying with some fervency. They are earnest in what they're praying about. I got to do something."
Amen.
The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And then we know what happened after that. Now, let's go back to James, the 5th chapter. Verse 17, it says, Elias, who is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. The heaven gave rain. The earth brought forth her fruit. Elijah was no different than you and me. Do you know that God counts us all individually as part of his prayer warrior team?
Yes. Amen.
He doesn't expect me to, I'm going to wait till brother pastor get off work and then I'm going to call him and we can have an agreement of prayer. No, you need to get on your knees and touch the throne of grace.
Yes.
Because God wants to hear you pray. Yes, it's good that you can pray with the pastor sometime, but the Lord means for you to have some power.
That's right.
We can't always depend on everybody around us to do everything for us. You know, that's kind of characteristic of the world. They say 20% of the people do 80% of the work. I'll lean on them. You know, sometimes the Lord is going to, if he really wants to get your attention, he may isolate you. Put you in a situation where the only prayer that's going to count is yours. And if you don't understand and comprehend in your mind the power that you possess as a child of God, you have missed the boat. And some people suffer because they haven't unleashed the power. It is a part of our salvation. That I can call out to Almighty God, Lord, I'm your child. I'm endeavoring to live for you. All that I know and understand, Lord, this situation here is going on. Will you come down and bless in the mighty name of Jesus? And you'll loose God. He'll say, yes, my child, I'm going to come down and I'm going to bless that situation. And you know what else you get from it? You get a testimony that you can share with somebody else. I can tell you what God has done for me.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, there's some things we must consider. I'm going to go back to 1 Kings. So, Elijah tells Ahab, you go back in, it's getting ready to rain. Get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundant rain. He's putting his reputation on the line now. The fire done come down and consumed everything up, and it hasn't rained for over 3 years. And Elijah tells them there's a sound of abundant rain. Now at this point, you could look up at, picture yourself being there with Elijah, and he said there's a sound of abundant rain, and you look up and you don't see nothing. You see clear skies. Will you believe him? Said, so Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down on the earth, put his face between his knees. This is what effectual and fervent prayer for him was. I'm going to get down in my lowest possible position. I'm going to put my face between my knees. The scripture does not tell you what he said. But I can imagine this if you allow me. Lord, has it rained for 3 years and 6 months? We need it now. And it says he got up, said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up, looked, said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. How many times do you and I go to the Lord? Or do we quit after the third one when we didn't? He ain't going to answer me. I'll just endure it a little longer. He went 7 times. Do you see how obedient the servant was? He believed Elijah. Look, I done seen the fire come down when he said, hear me, Lord, hear me. And the fire came down. So he said, go look, I'm going to go look. No, it's not there yet, Elijah. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Now going back to the child that prayed for rain. And I went outside and I looked. And I saw that little tiny cloud and I held my hand up and it blocked the cloud out. And God sent the rain.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
From the prayer of a child.
Praise God.
When you and I are looking at the circumstances and the situations that we are praying about, we cannot look at it through natural eyes.
Amen.
We have got to look at it through the eyes of the Almighty God.
Yes.
There is no soul in this entire world that can stand up and resist the gospel message. The love is too great.
Amen.
It'll change every single one. Yes. If God so desires it. Some of us are dealing with some situations that seem to be impossible. But you know that there is a God. Even though I look at you, you can look at the situation and the devil comes along and says, that ain't going to ever work out. You just wasting your breath. Do I see it through the eyes of God? God can change this situation. Even if it don't look like it. Couple other points I'd like to make about our prayers. And then I'll come back to this because it's tied to a song that the Lord put on my heart. The other example I want to look at is Jesus. I'm not going to turn to it, but it's in Matthew, the 26th chapter, verses 36 through 46. Jesus was at the point where he's got to go to the cross. He knows that the men are coming to take him, and he's dealing with what he feels inside. Lord, if it be possible. Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Now, when Jesus had to go three times to do this, this tells me that it was heavy on his heart. And sometimes you and I are dealing with some situations that God has put in our path, and we got to be able to surrender it.
True.
The prayer of surrender.
Amen.
Do you know it gets God's attention? They're willing to lay down their desires and will, and they're going to take mine. Don't you think that gets God excited? Because he already knows what's best for us. Sometimes it takes a while for us to realize it. And this was Jesus Christ. And he had to go three times. Nevertheless, Lord, except I drink it. And then it said he went away. Let's go. The time is at hand. He that betrayeth me is here. And he had the victory. Another place, Exodus, the third chapter. There's two verses I want to pick up here. Exodus, the third chapter, verses 7 and 8. It says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up and out of that land unto a good land, a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Notice it said, God said, I heard their cry. You and I need to pray until God says, I've heard it.
Yeah.
There have been situations I've been praying about different things. And I'm in earnest. Pouring out my heart before God. And right in the middle of the prayer, the Lord says, you don't have to pray for that no more. I've heard your prayer. That's what you want to hear.
Amen.
That's the only time you let go of that particular prayer is when God has confirmed that he has heard your prayer. These things are in place, see? Sometimes it takes a little bit for God to line everything up. But when he says he heard your prayer, now what am I doing? Lord, thank you for hearing my prayer. I'm looking forward to the answer.
Amen.
I look forward to see that loved one I've been praying for walking saved and in their right mind. I look forward to him coming to service singing the songs of Zion.
Amen.
I look forward to that person that's been sick all these days that they are completely healed.
Yes.
Make sure he's heard it and get a confirmation. Because
yes.
The devil will come along sometimes and say, oh, he heard your prayer. You can stop praying. Because he don't want you to pray about it no more. But you keep on praying till God says, I've heard it.
Amen.
Do you think Elijah, he knew God heard his prayer? Why? We saw the evidence. Do you know it changed a whole group of people? They were getting ready to go over here and follow these idols. And what did they end up saying? The Lord, he is God. They was convinced. So pray till he has heard.
Amen.
And this one, I'm just going to give you the scripture reference, Philippians 4 and 6. I believe y'all have heard a message about this one. Praying with thanksgiving.
Yes.
Do you know that manners matter to God?
Yes.
He likes polite people. Please and thank you. It means something to him. Not I want this, Lord. You need to give it to me now. Or I ain't going to talk to you. Are those manners?
No,
please, Lord, this is what we need. You lay it out before him. And then thank you, Lord. However you send it, thank you.
Amen.
It means something to God.
Amen.
Now, Elijah prayed 7 times and God answered. You know it might take more than 7 times? It may take 20, 30. It may take it daily prayer. But until God either says, I'm going to answer that prayer, you don't have to pray about it. You keep on praying.
Yes.
And I believe that this is something that the older saints got a hold to, that the Christians now have forgotten. Pray on till the answer comes.
Amen.
The songwriter said, though the power of hell assails, fervent prayer will never fail. Another verse he said, when there's trouble in the land, God will give a helping hand. We live in a time there's trouble in the land, and you and I have hold a power to be able to do something about it. Pray on till the answer comes. Do you think these people are so hard in their heart that God can't change them? There was nobody harder than Nebuchadnezzar, and God changed him. Nobody harder than a Saul before he became Paul, and God changed him. I believe that God can change any of them in this world. And he said, when you're sick, do not despair. God will surely answer prayer.
Yes.
Pray on till the answer comes. When you get tired, pray on.
Yes.
The God will give you strength to keep praying. There's times you get down to pray, you're tired, you're worn out from the things of the day, and you say, Lord, give me power and give me strength to pray a prayer that you'll hear.
Yes.
And he will.
Yes.
Because he wants to talk to you.
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to leave you with this one last example. This happened not too long ago. I'm down praying. I had a busy week. Down praying, trying to get something for the Lord for Sunday. And the Lord said, stop praying. And it shocked me. Because literally, like I'm talking to you, stop praying. You go over to Psalms, I believe it was 124, and read. Oh, okay. Get up, get my Bible, sat down, opened the Bible to Psalms 124, and the Lord poured the message in.
Amen.
Do you know he knows when we're tired?
Yeah.
He knows when we're fatigued.
Yeah.
He understands that this is my human limitation.
Right.
And I want to pray in earnest and get something from the Lord. And the Lord says, just do what I tell you to do.
Yeah.
Then after I got the message, he said, now come pray. God will talk to you just like that.
Yes.
It's not just reserved for those that hold a ministerial position. It's for each and every one of you. You children in here, you can touch the throne of God.
Yes.
Now what we have to be careful of, James 4 and 3, I'm going to leave you with this. We are praying and we need to get the mind and the will of God. That is going to give us the greatest opportunity to get a response from God. This verse says, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You know, sometimes we pray selfish prayers. We're humans. You know, sometimes our needs are right in front of our face.
Amen.
And if all I'm, God, you see what's going on. We struggle in here. And that's all my focus is. That's a selfish prayer. And people that pray amiss, most of the time, I'm not going to say all the time, but most of the time, is tied to a selfish prayer.
Whatever.
If we can get the mind of God when we go to prayer, that means I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, who's already going to pray on my behalf when I'm praying anyways, because sometimes we don't even know what to say. And it says it makes intercession.
Yes.
Yeah. But if we can get the mind of God, you know it's God's mind to save everybody.
Yes.
Do you know it's God's mind to heal everybody?
Yes.
It's his mind to deliver people from whatever binds them.
Right.
It's his desire to see Christians grow and possess the power that he has for them.
Amen.
And that's the way you and I have to pray.
Amen.
Add these up, you get availeth much.
Amen. Thank you.